Well, good afternoon and welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the Georgene Rice Show. You know, we're living in very difficult times, and it's a challenge for the church to step up and step into the role that God calls all of us into in the Great Commission, in which we have the privilege of bringing the gospel to a world that desperately needs Jesus. I mean, that's always been the case, but this is our time. We live in the Pacific Northwest, and this is our assignment. I'm excited to announce to some of you for the first time and remind others of you that Mission Fest Seattle is coming, and that's coming up next weekend. Mission Fest Seattle was started in 2006, and this is the 19th year. There are a number of churches that partner together in the Seattle, Washington area in order to equip the saints to be inspired and to encourage one another to go forward and bring the gospel. This year, Mission Fest is going to be held at Highlands Community Church in Renton, Washington, and they're going to have one of the keynote speakers from Asbury Theological Seminary, Kelly Bixler. She joins us today. She's a coordinator of global partnership there, and I'm just delighted to talk with her today about this festival and what's happening at Asbury University. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Georgene. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, last year your daughter was at Mission Fest Portland. I had an opportunity to hear her and to meet her. So I'm so excited that you're going to have the opportunity in the Seattle, Washington area to share the story of what's happening at Asbury. Now, for our listeners who may not know that history and the revival that began, was it last year or the year before? Can you give us a little bit of that background?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Thank you. Yes, it was an incredible time, Georgine. I'm sure lots of people saw things online, on social media, but we were right here at ground zero, you could say. You know, I work at Asbury Seminary. My daughter Lauren attends Asbury University right across the street, two separate institutions, although they share the same name. And so this was February 8th, 2023, over at Asbury University in their chapel, called Hughes Auditorium. It was a regular chapel service. They have three of them a week, and this was a Wednesday morning. My daughter was a sophomore at the time, and they just had a regular message about God's love, and they invited students that wanted to stay after to just worship a little longer, pray a little longer if they wanted, which wasn't unusual. My daughter and about 19 other students felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to stay. They just sensed God was doing something special. So they stayed and just basically got on their knees at the altar and were just praying, confessing sins to each other, worshiping. It was a real special time, and it just continued. And, you know, word spread so fast, you know, with social media. They were texting their friends saying, hey, God's doing something here in Hughes Auditorium. You got to come back to chapel. And so over the course of the next few hours, just hundreds of students just flowed back into the chapel. And, you know, the band kept playing and just the worship continued. My daughter texted my husband and I a few hours into it and said, Mom and Dad, revival is breaking out in chapel. And she knew, they knew that there was something, you know, it wasn't just, this is an amazing chapel service that continued. Like, they could tell this was different than anything they'd ever experienced. And so over the course of that, basically that chapel service continued for 16 consecutive days and even evenings through the night. The Holy Spirit just descended on campus in an incredible way. You know, they call it the outpouring, the Asbury outpouring, where the Holy Spirit just poured out his spirit. It was really characterized by continuous worship, by prayer, confession, repentance, forgiveness, humility. Just some quick stats that you may or may not have heard. It drew people from 40 different states, from 40 nations, 279 colleges and universities, an estimated total of 50 to 70,000 people descended on our little town of Wilmore, Kentucky. Residents, 6,000 residents in our little two stoplight town. So it was amazing. I mean, there's not words to describe it.
I know at the time, of us were excited about what was happening. We were praying for the students and what God was doing in that area. But there were also cynics who suggested this was just an emotional outbreak on campus. How has this this outpouring impacted the campus and your daughter as well, Lauren, who was part of that revival?
Oh, yes. Well, that is a great question. It has definitely impacted people in huge ways. It was definitely not just an emotional thing. You know, someone said you can't tell college students to get together and worship all night and tell each other their secrets. You know, that just doesn't happen unless by the Spirit of God. But it was night and day. My daughter said, from how the atmosphere was on campus before the outpouring and how it was after. She described the atmosphere, like the semester before the outpouring happened, as unusually dark and heavy. And there was just so many of her friends that were struggling emotionally, with anxiety, depression. You know, the counseling services office was inundated with people coming to seek counseling. There was just a deep hunger, a deep need. And my daughter even said she felt like that God told her that something good was coming. Like the students were praying, so many people were praying. And then, you know, when God descended down, my daughter said she felt like God just came down in a tangible way and just gave them all a big hug. I mean, that was part of it, but it was more than that, deeper than that. There were so many reconciliations between friends, people forgiving one another. My daughter even had a time where she felt the Lord calling her to forgive people that have hurt her. You know, after the outpouring, just one little example, like the counseling services, they said they went from being packed to hardly having any students coming to see them at all. You know, that's very telling, you know, in terms of what the Lord did in the lives of the students, that just set so many of them free from anxiety and fear and sin and, yeah, I mean, there's so many ramifications from this and implications,
yes,
that have gone out.
And I would caution, we need to be careful about being cynical about everything that happens. We live in a cynical age, but when God is moving, yeah, and he's touching the hearts of young people, we need to partner with them in prayer and ask God to continue that move of the Spirit across the country. You know, in our campuses here in Oregon and in other places around the world. And I do know that there were similar events that did take place on college and university campuses across the country. So this was not an isolated event. It began,
right,
what essentially was a movement, and God ministering to young people in very deep and significant ways. And that's so thrilling and encouraging to me personally, to think that God is connecting with young people and they're responding. Now, you're going to be speaking at Mission Fest Seattle. That's coming up on the 18th and the 19th. You and your daughter, she's also,
right,
coming? Now, Laura,
yes,
was at, as I mentioned,
too,
Mission Connection. Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
What will the two of you be talking about at the fest?
Well, mainly this. We're going to be sharing just some more detailed experience and testimonies of, you know, Lauren's going to share her experience of being there right at the very beginning, from the very beginning of the Asbury outpouring, and what God did in her and her friends, and what she has seen come out of that. And I'll be sharing my testimony about it as well. You know, I was involved as my husband and I were able to be prayer ministers in Hughes Auditorium for a large part of the outpouring, you know, down at the altar praying for people. And that was incredible and life-changing as well, to just see what God was doing in the hearts and lives of people who were so hungry for him and so ready to confess their sins and ready to be reconciled or healed or relationships restored. It was absolutely incredible. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be having a Q&A time during the lunchtime, also after we share during the main general session, for people that just want to ask questions, you know, like what happened,
yeah,
and what, you know, any specific questions they might have on their minds or hearts about it. And then we're both going to be leading. I'll be taking the lead on it, talking about intercessory prayer that led up to the Asbury outpouring. You know, you hear so many revivals that have been documented down through history. You hear then later of prayer movements that went on beforehand. You know, revivals,
yes,
usually break out, you know, after a concerted effort of prayer. And I got to be a witness to seeing a lot of that playing out. You know, I know so many people were praying, probably all over the place. But I have a heart for prayer that God has given me from many years ago. And so I got to be a part of some really amazing times of intercessory prayer, and got to interview other people that were involved in prayer. And so we knew God was doing something. And so when it happened, we were like, here it is. This is what he's been saying he's been wanting to do. So it was absolutely amazing. So it wasn't a planned outpouring, but it was prepared. God prepared the minds and hearts of people for it. So it was amazing.
Oh, I love that. I love that, prepared. We're talking with Kelly Bixler. She's coordinator of global partnerships at Asbury Theological Seminary. She's going to be speaking along with her daughter at Mission Fest Seattle, October 18th and 19th at Highlands Community Church in Renton, Washington, representing over 150 churches, workshops. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Georgene Rice Show, and we'll be back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Georgene Rice Show. I'm continuing my conversation with Kelly Bixler. She's coordinator of global partnerships at Asbury Theological Seminary. We've been talking about the Asbury Revival and the preparation that preceded the outpouring, the fact that people were interceding, not asking for a specific thing, but being prepared, as I appreciate Kelly put it, for what God chose to do in response. Mission Fest 2024 is coming up the 18th and 19th, and we are encouraging you, even if you're here in Oregon or you're in the Washington area, be a part of this opportunity to come together with believers around the Great Commission and to see what God is doing and to seek direction and clarity in what God is calling you to do. Again, October 18th and 19th, Missions Fest Seattle at Highlands Community Church in Renton. There's a free pastor's luncheon, pastors and mission leader workshop. There are seminar event tracks. There's music that's going to be there. There's a weekend schedule. You can find all of that at the website at missionsfestseattle.org. That's missions with an S, festseattle.org. And all of those details are there. And by the way, registration is free. It's helpful to know that you're coming so that they can make arrangements and make sure there's room for you. So I would encourage you to check that out at missionsfestseattle.org. Now, Kelly, I know that many people are longing for revival, and I appreciate your emphasizing that what preceded what happened at Asbury was a season of intercession, and you're going to be talking about that. What do you mean by intercession for those who perhaps don't understand how it is that we intercede for others? It's a form of prayer, but help us to understand how we can engage in what many believers all across the globe have been engaged in for many, many years.
Yes, yes. Intercessory prayer, it's something I didn't know much about, honestly, when I was younger. I mainly learned how to pray, you know, before meals, pray bedtime, pray petitionary prayers, which are wonderful and needed. Mm-hmm. But intercessory prayer is different in that we're really seeking the heart of God and God's Spirit as to what He's doing, and asking Him, you know, what's on His heart, because Jesus is the great intercessor. So He says, you know, He ever lives to intercede for us. He is interceding. Yes. So we ask what's on His heart for us, for our area, our church, our nation, and then we basically pray those prayers back to Him. And God has chosen to partner with us in prayer. He doesn't need our prayers, but He's chosen to kind of limit Himself, I guess, in a way to get us to pray the prayers that are on His heart back to Him, so that He can then move in ways that He's wanting to move. You know, it says in Scripture, you know, where in the Old Testament, I searched for a man among them who would stand in the gap. So I've always heard intercessory prayer being talked about as we're standing in the gap, you know, in between the need on earth, you know, and God, and we're standing in the gap and praying and say, Lord, you know, do what you are wanting to do in this person's life or in this situation. And God hears those prayers, and he fuels them, you know, with His own heart and His own prayer. And so we saw that happen. You know, people here were, it's not like they just woke up one day and said, oh, I feel like praying for revival. It was people who were seeking God, and they sensed from the Holy Spirit that the Lord was wanting to do something amazing here. He was wanting to pour out His Spirit, and so he was calling people in various groups and ages and generations, you know, to seek him and to first kind of get right with him, you know, kind of have personal revival and consecration, and then to pray specifically for revival and for him to pour out his spirit in this area. And so he gave some people dreams and visions, and even called people from other parts of the world to come here just to pray for revival for a few years leading up to the revival. So it all intercessory prayer begins and ends in the heart of God. And we just get to kind of go along for the ride and be faithful and obedient to what he's asking us to pray.
Absolutely. I so often think we underestimate the privilege it is to have access to the throne of grace through the blood of Christ, that he intercedes for us, that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't have words to pray for the things that are on our heart, that God would call us into his presence for the purpose of partnering with him in ministry is such a tremendous privilege. It's more than now I lay me down to sleep. It's a wonderful prayer to start with, but God invites us to so much more. Now, you've been to other missions conferences. Are you finding that there is a common theme around the country in terms of where people are in their pursuit of God and his purposes?
Yeah, we're in a difficult time, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. You know, these are kind of the word unprecedented has been spoken by so many people so much in the last, you know, just number of few years. Unprecedented, you know, chaos that's been happening. And so I think people are recognizing a need for God and turning to him for answers and seeking him more. And there's such a hunger. I feel like there's such a hunger, especially in the younger generation, maybe partly because my daughter's in the Gen Z generation. But there's a spiritual awakening that's happening in the Gen Z generation. We're seeing this on college campuses. You know, Asbury University is just one of them. You know, it's not the only one. Like, we're hearing reports of God pouring his spirit out on many other college campuses all across America. You know, I've heard and seen videos and seen reports of stadiums being filled with students coming together to worship and hearing the gospel and people and students getting baptized. And so I think there's a real hunger to experience the reality of God's presence, you know, to know that faith is real, that God is real. And so we're seeing this happen all across the nation. It's kind of a mission field in our own country. People that are very hungry. That was one of the things that just really gripped me during the 16 days of the Asbury outpouring was the hunger, the spiritual hunger of people that came from all over. You know, they're booking flights from other countries to come to our little town so that they could be in God's presence, be in his manifest, tangible presence that the Lord graced us with. It was like heaven kind of came down and people were like, I want to be in God's presence. And the hunger, they would stand in lines outside of Hughes Auditorium for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours. And this was in February, so it was in the cold. And they just were waiting in line, like gladly waiting in line just to get in and be in God. You know, again, not that God is relegated to just a place, but there are times and places, you know, times and seasons where he manifests his presence in a special way. And people recognize that and are hungry for him. They're hungry for him.
Well, we're talking about Mission Fest Seattle that's coming up on the 18th and 19th in Renton, Washington. You can find out more at missionsfestseattle.org, and I would encourage you to do that. Missions Fest Seattle was started back in 2006. This is the 19th year. This year will be at Renton Highlands Community Church in Renton, of course. That's easy access to the 405 freeway. And people say that this would never happen because Seattle is known as one of the least church cities in the USA. That's true of Portland, where I am as well. But God is not limited by our boundaries or what the demographics are. He's moving in these areas, and I think in some very significant ways. This is a citywide missions conference sponsored by local churches. There have been over 150 churches who have come together over the years, and it's exciting to see what God does when his people come together in unity. Yeah. The purpose of the Missions Fest is to heighten the awareness of missions in the body of Christ and to inspire people to get out of the pews and get into action. God is at work, and He's chosen to use us to do the work that that needs to be done in our area. So it's exciting to see God's people come together to Him, to see Him move in our midst. And I'm looking forward to hearing more stories about what God has done through this missions festival that's coming up in just a short time. I'm so thankful that you are coming to be a part of this missions fest. Any final words to those who are kind of on the fence? Should I go? Should I not go?
Well, I would highly recommend you come. You know, I was talking with one of the people that's putting together the Missions Fest conference, and just saying how it all started and how churches came together to put this on. And I think anytime you can get churches to come together on one, you know, to do one thing, there's powerful things that happen in the spiritual realm and here. So I think it would be definitely a very enriching time to come together as the body of Christ from different denominations to hear more of what God's doing and how you can be
absolutely
a part. So come.
Again, the website is missionsfestseattle.org. It's free of charge, but you do need to register, missionsfestseattle.org. Kelly Bixler, thank you so much for coming to the Seattle area, and thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Georgina.
We're going to take a quick break. If you're listening in Seattle, we bid you a fond farewell. In Portland, stick around. There's more to come.